For sure. Socrates poisoned again after 25 centuries. Responses to questions from disciples and press correspondents given in Crete, Greece. Discourse number 27.
Beloved Socon, my parents are strong Catholic friends of the Pope. I'm a strong friend of yours. Can you say something about it?
There is no past. A great discontinuity has happened. You are the future. Immense possibilities of evolution. Existence will depend on you. Existence will hope and dream for all that is possible for you. You are going to be a vehicle of taking human consciousness to its ultimate peak. And there is no possibility of bridging the gap. It is for the first time in the history such a gap is happening. There have been parents always, there have been children always, there have been generations always, but there has never been a generation gap. This is something totally new. Immense implications. evolution is taking its quantum leap. It jumps. No more continuous. Not just the modification of the past. Not just a renovation of the past. Not just here and there few changes in the past. But it's total change. The whole past has become irrelevant. Not only irrelevant, it is a hindrance. Why in this generation gap? It is not an enmity with your parents. It is simply a new potential between action. Parents have lived thousands of years with their hope and with their strong love. But humanity has not evolved out of that love. There has been no growth. Your love towards me is not towards me. Your love is towards a total revolution, a rebellion. You are getting ready to drop everything that is old. And to search again for a new identity for yourself. For our human beings. The old man was simply part of the society. The new man will be an individual piece, not a cog in the wheel. The old man was replaceable. The new man will be unique and irreplaceable. The old man lived according to rules, regulations, disciplines, and scriptures, commandments, but he never lived spontaneously. It is always according to something. According to somebody else. The new man is going to live it spontaneously. Without any rules, without any regulations, without anybody telling him how to live, he has to find his own way. About ascetic, his life is going to be an adventure. The old man's life was a dread. It was sheer boredom. People were tired. Themselves to their graves. Their only hope was death. You have heard it many times that people are afraid of death. You are wrong. The old man was waiting only for death because life was empty. I am reminded of Alexander the Great. While he was coming to India, on the way, got the information that there in the desert there is an oasis. If you drink the water from that oasis, you become immortal. That was the ancient man's search, immortality. Alexander was immensely interested. He stopped his horses to wait. He went alone. He did not want everybody else to become immortal. The old man was very jealous. He was not safe. Even such a beautiful phenomenon, that you are going to become immortal, he could not invite his own people who were ready to die for him. That you all should come with me and drink from that oasis and become immortal. He did not took even his chief commander-in-chief, his prime minister, not even his bodyguard. He said, "You all stop here. I will go alone." The story is very beautiful and very significant. He reached to the oasis. And he was immensely joyful that what great seers have always been searching for, he has found without himself. And just as he was going to make his cup out of his hands and to fill the water and drink it, a crow who was sitting on the nearby tree said, "Wait a minute." A crow speaking. He believed that he will become immortal by drinking the water of a certain oasis. He did not disbelieve it. Do you see the implication? Whatever you want to believe, you never doubt. Your beliefs are really your desires. And you are afraid to doubt because who knows, your doubt may prove right. You are afraid even to think. You simply accept in faith. Now such an absurd idea that by drinking the water of a certain oasis, you will become immortal, was acceptable to him. And he was not a gullible fellow. He was the disciple of Aristotle, the father of Western logic. And he was a trained logician himself. But not even for a moment he thought that this seems to be absurd. Otherwise, many people would have become immortal by now. He could not be the first to discover it. In fact, the people who have informed him, they should have drunk the water first before informing him. But no doubt, no suspicion, no skepticism, pure faith. When you want something, you become good. It is your desire that makes you. Only a desireless man is free from gullibility. But he was very much surprised that a crow is speaking. When water can make people immortal, what is the wrong in a crow speaking? It is not more absurd than the first idea. He could not believe. The crow says, "Believe me, I am speaking, because I have also drank from the same water. I have become immortal. And I stay here to warn people not to drink that water. It is dangerous. Because now I want to die. It must have been millions of years that I have lived. And the boredom is such, the anguish is such, I and I don't see any point why I should go on living. But I cannot commit suicide. I'm immortal. I have tried committing suicide. I have done violence. But no effect. So before you drink, just listen to my story, and then it is up to you. Do you really want forever to live? You will repent, because death is the great hope. A hope, a relief, a freedom from the burden of so-called life, which is nothing but misery and suffering and anguish. Now you are free. You can think over it, and if you feel like drinking, you can drink it. But don't say that nobody warned you. The story says, for a moment, Alexander thought about it, dropped the water. He rose on his heart and escaped as quickly away from the place as possible. Because who knows? Man is a weakness. In a certain moment of weakness, he may want to drink it. The crow is right. You cannot live forever. There will come a point when you have experienced everything. And there is nothing left for tomorrow. And then every day is just emptiness, which goes on repeating. It will be worse than death. And he recognized for the first time that death is a great hope. For the old man, life was living. He was repressed in every way so that he cannot live. All his religions, all his so-called moralists have made it absolutely certain to make his life violent. Everything was wrong. To be joyful was wrong. To love was a sin. To enjoy this world was against its purpose. It was materialism. Everything was so much condemned for so many centuries. That every man had become afraid to live. Yes, he was afraid to die too. the fear was not of death, remember. The fear was that death is coming and he has not lived yet. 70 years are gone unlived, unloved. Sung the song that he has come to sing. He has not danced the dance which would have fulfilled his destiny, which would have given him meaning, and death is coming. He was not afraid of death, he was afraid that death will take tomorrow's time. And that is the only way he has learned his whole life, that he will live tomorrow. Today is destroyed by every kind of so-called religion, spirituality. Today is completely destroyed, and that is the only real thing. Tomorrow never comes. But he was hoping that tomorrow, perhaps what has not happened yet may happen. Now death is coming and there will be no tomorrow. That was his fear. The fear was not about death. The fear was about unlived life. Otherwise, every person after a certain age, 70, 75, 80, it starts feeling that death seems to be the only relief, only possible freedom. Freedom from life. Freedom from all the beauty, all the joy, all the glory that surrounds existence. For the old man, death has been a great hope. For the new man, life will be a reality, not to be lived tomorrow, but to be lived here now. For the new man, there is going to be no tomorrow. For the new man, there is going to be no death. Because death is always tomorrow. Today is always life. Right now it is always life. This moment it is always life. For the new man, each moment of life is an eternity of joy. Miserable expression. And this gap that has happened between the generations is to be welcomed. It's not against anyone. It is simply the course of existence. Existence has tried with the old man and failed. Now existence wants new men. This new ways of living, new ways of thinking, new modes of existence. And existence is never found. It gave enough rope for the old man, for the old society, for the old religion, but somehow they all failed. They were going to fail. Because they were not for this world. They were condemning this world. They were talking about a world beyond the clouds, which does not exist at all. They were sacrificing the real for the unreal. Mystery, no growth was possible. The new man will sacrifice the unreal for the real. He will sacrifice all tomorrows for today. He will make his today so intense and so total that even if he dies, there will be no regret. He lived it so fully. He experienced it so fully. And deep down he has touched the principle of immortality. He knows that life never ends. It only changes form. For the new man, death does not exist. For the new man, death is only a transformation period. Just a deep sleep. The old goes to sleep, and in the morning, new, totally new, and fresh being wakes up. Try to help your parents to understand. Don't be angry. Because it is not their fault. They have simply followed their parents. They have simply followed the prophets and the messiahs and the saviors. They have been very naive. Don't be angry at them. Be compassionate. And make yourself understandable to them. Your gap is not a gap of antagonism, but a gap of existential change. and of wishing. If you can make your parents to understand what is happening, perhaps they will also bless you. Bless you to go on the new way. Bless you to find that which they have missed. And it would be good that the new generation goes with the blessings of the old generation. So there is no hard feeling on any side. And the old generation also feels proud of you. Existence has chosen you to carry the work that old man has made. The old man has been waiting for the Messiah to come. No Messiah is to come. The new man is the Messiah. The new man is the Savior. The new man brings the good news that evolution can continue to higher things of peace. You are fortunate and blessed.
I find myself waiting for someone somewhere out in the world to stand up and declare himself a lover of your message. Someone who is in a position to facilitate your access to people. The world of politicians seems too far removed from yours for any connection to happen. The intelligentsia seem content to talk and reluctant to do anything that might actually involve getting their hands dirty. There seem to be no men of integrity. I have heard you say that whatever is happening now is all part of your teaching. However, I seem attached to the idea of a happy ending. I can't bear to think that you might come and go again from us without your vision being realized by millions of people. Please comment.
It has been so in the past. People like me have always come with a great vision. And died without realizing their vision. It is not going to happen. For the simple reason, because I have chosen the right time and the right place. This generation gap is the right time. Buddha was working with the old people, with the old tradition, with all orthodox minds. and wanting them to be recognized. So was now they could not see the point that the people they are talking are so much deeply rooted in the past. That they cannot move away from. They can listen. They can worship you. They will worship you forever. They will remember you as great prophets, great saviors, as awakened people. They will keep you in their heart as cherished memory, but more than that they cannot do. For the simple reason because they are not the right people. I am talking to the right people who are already dropping the past, who are already finished with temples, mosques, churches, synagogues. I remember of a small anecdote. Three rabbis were talking. Discussing whose synagogue is the most ultra-modern. Now, synagogues are not supposed to be ultra-modern. The first rabbi said, in my synagogue, you can smoke, you can drink, even while I am giving the sermon. You can play cards. There is absolute freedom. The second one said that is nothing. While I am making sermon, my people even can make love. All these things they do. But they are free, really free. No inhibition. The third man said this is nothing. Who said that what more can be there? The third rabbi said, in my synagogue, on the door there is written in golden letters that on every Jewish holiday the synagogue will remain closed. all the churches of different religions are trying their best to learn psychoanalysis, to become therapists. It's strange. They should be reading Torah, they should be reading Bible, they should be studying Vedas. They are studying Sigmund Freud, Adler and Jung. For what? What has happened? The new people are slipping out of their hands. The Archbishop here on this beautiful island has been threatening for almost the time I have been here, from the very beginning, that he is going to have a protest march against me. But I know he cannot have a protest march against me, because in his church only few old ladies go to listen to him. And he will look a buffoon. Old ladies. Protesting against me in the street. He is waiting for somebody, but nobody turns up. On the contrary, the youth of the island who have no connection with me, just seeing the ugliness of the Archbishop and his statements and the falsity of his statements, and continuously wiring to the Prime Minister and to the politicians that this man could be immediately, instantly deported. Otherwise, he will corrupt our youth. He will destroy our morality. He will destroy our religion. You have been here for 2,000 years. A great morality you have created. And great religion you have created that can be destroyed by a man who is just a tourist for 4 days. The youth of the island who have no connection with me, I don't know who they are. They gathered because it is insult to the island and they are collecting signatures for me against the bishop, that all these are lies, that there are sex orgies happening and thousands of people join every morning, every evening in sex orgies. You are not listening to discourse, it is a discourse. the new generation is already out of their head. Only formally they are Christians, Hindus, Mohammedans, but just formally. They have no fanaticism against all these ideologies, or for these ideologies. They are simply not concerned. They are indifferent. And this is the right time when people can be unconditioned. When on their own accord they are ready to throw all rubbish. I can help them to throw it in a more scientific way, so that it does not come back from the back door. So nothing of it remains in some corner of your unconscious mind. Because even a small part of it in your unconscious mind will be enough if it again starts growing. It will spread again into your being. It has to be completely clean. You have to be absolutely fresh. A stabilization. A clean slate on which nothing is written. So that you are free to write whatever you want. Your own poetry, your own song, your own speech. I am not going to fail for the simple reason because the time is right. Existence is with me. The old and the past is already dead. It simply needs a little push and it will go into the grave. My work is not hard. As it was for Buddha, for Confucius, my work is not hard as it was for Socrates, Pythagoras, Heraclitus. It is very simple because it is already going to happen. Even without me, it may take a little longer time. And may not be done so scientifically. And some traces of the old may remain and haunt you and disturb your future. What I call meditation is simply a method of cleaning your heart. doting upon fun and giving you a new birth. Unless you are reborn, just like a child, innocent, there is danger. The past is long and heavy. It can get you back. It is making every effort. Otherwise, bishops and priests and cardinals going to study psychology, psychoanalysis, therapy, it is a strange phenomenon. Why? Just to understand what is happening to the new youth, and what they can do to prevent it from happening. To understand the new mind, they are trying to study all the new sciences that have developed around the mind. I used to live in a place in India for a few years, and there was Asia's biggest Christian missionary training college, Leonard Theological College. There were 3,000 students from all over Asia. 6 years course to become a missionary. Just the way somebody becomes an engineer, somebody becomes a doctor, somebody becomes a professor. They were before missionaries. 6 years syllabus, step by step, everything was programmed. The principal was my friend, and he invited me to see how beautiful campus they have created. I stopped at a class where they were teaching how to give sermons. I was amazed that this too is part of training. The teacher was going to them at what point you should raise your hand, at what point you should look upwards. At what point you should speak strongly and authoritatively, and at what point you should simply whisper. At what point you have to beat the table? I asked the principal, do you think Jesus has been to any theological college? He said, no. He had not been to any theological college. I said, that's why it is safe. otherwise these 3,000 people will be crucified. Without asking, everybody knows they have to practice it. At what point to raise your head? That this is so stupid. Religion is not something that you can teach like other subjects. It is something that you experience. And when you have something to say, you find the right gesture automatically. You don't have to search for it. You find the right emphasis. When there is something worth saying, it is not a question of training. You are befooling these 3,000 people, and their whole life they will think they are religious. And this was not true only about a student. One of the greatest contemporary Christian missionaries was Stanley Jones. He used to come to India once in a while on his world tour. We became very friendly. He used to have each speech tied on a small card, 10 or 12 or 15 cards, different points on each card, and he will keep those cards on the table. He will finish the first card, then remove the first card, then comes the number 2. He was staying with a friend. I just missed his card. And he was an old man, a friend of Mahatma Gandhi. And respected all over the world as a great spiritual leader. He started and then he looked at him and he said, "My God, where is my first son?" And I have dropped the number. And the people were laughing at the kind of speeches. First he was very angry. And he said, "Who has done it?" "And I have done it." He said, "I thought you are my friend." I said, "I am your friend." "And that's why I have done it. I want it. It's clear to you that all your missionary work is simply bogus. You don't have anything to say. You have only 20 prepared speeches. and you go on with those scars. It is not your experience. Otherwise, you should not have bothered about the car. You should have spoken out of your heart, out of your experience. And I told him, remember, whenever you visit my town, I am not going to allow you to use God. That was the last time he ever visited the town. He never came back. Without God, he was apparently at a loss what to do, what to say. Everything was written on the card. Religious experience is written in your heart. The Pope has never spoken a single word spontaneously. Everything is prepared by the Secretary. You think the Pope is speaking. You think the Pope is in Hollywood. You should think the secretaries of the Pope are in Parliament. Poor Pope has nothing to do with it. All those speeches are prepared by the secretary. He simply repeats them. The new generation is alert enough and is getting out of the hands of the old on its own. I can just help a little bit. Socrates has said that the function of the master is the function of the midwife. He is right. The child is ready and wants to come out of the womb. The midwife simply helps. The child to be born as comfortably as possible. Neither the mother is harmed, nor the child is harmed. The whole art of midwifery on a spiritual level is the work of the master. Don't be worried. The world is ready to welcome the new man. The existence is ready to support the new man in every possible way. Neither the politicians can prevent, nor your so-called intellectuals can prevent, There is no force that can prevent the new man to appear. The time for the new man has come. And the old man has failed so utterly that there is no possibility for it to compete with the new. I have been challenging different heads of different religions that you go on spreading lies about me. Why don't you gather a little courage and come directly into a public debate with me? But not a single one, neither Hindu, nor Christian, nor Mohammedan, nor Jaina, nor Buddhist, none of them has courage enough to be in a public discussion openly so people can feel where the truth is. They themselves know the truth is not this way. Hence the fear. Otherwise, what can be a problem? I am talking to my people, I am not talking even to the people of the island. I have not invited them. If they come on their own, I cannot prevent them. That is the simply inhuman. If they come, I welcome them. But I have not invited anybody. Why the bishop is worried? The worry is that he has only a congregation of 12 old women and I have thousands and thousands of young people, and he knows that whatever he has been teaching is against nature. The young people can listen to it but cannot follow it. What I am teaching is in tune with nature. The young people can follow it. It is absolutely their need that somebody should say to them that you are right to follow your list, that there is no sin in it. People who have been telling lies to you are afraid. Before truth, their lies will be exposed. Otherwise, is this a religious type of mind? That hope is preventing my entry into eternity. Putting his whole force that I could not enter into eternity. What fear he could have? He is the representative of God. I'm nobody's differentiator. I simply represent myself. I should be afraid of him. He has everybody on his side, God, Holy Ghost, nobody on his side. I am fighting the whole battle alone. It's still with absolute certainty that victory is going to be ours. It's a truth. Is intrinsically victorious. You can lie and deceive people for a time being, but not forever. And you have deceived long enough. It is time that if you have really sincerity, you should yourself say that we have been lying, we have been deceived. It happened once, I was speaking in a conference with a gentleman who is very much respected amongst the Jainas, Chandan Muni. He spoke first, and he talked about the self and the realization of self and the blissfulness of self. And I was sitting by his side, watching the man. All those words were empty. There was no support from his experience. I could see in his eyes there was no death. I spoke after him, and the first thing I said is that whatever Chandan Muni has said is simply a repetition. Scripture, that life, he has done a good job, his memory is good, but his experience is nil. There was great trouble because it was the conscience of the Jaina. Few people started standing up and going, I said, wait. You will have to listen at least 5 minutes to me, and then you can go. I'm new to you. You don't know me. At least 5 minutes just to have a little introduction of what kind of a man you have left behind, and then you are free. Everybody can go. Speaking for 5 minutes was enough. And after 5 minutes, I ask now, anybody who wants to go immediately to sleep, not a single man left. I spoke for almost 2 hours. I was not supposed to speak for that long. I was asked only to speak for 10 minutes. But the president was afraid. Seeing that now people are listening and nobody has left, disturbing him, even Chandan Mani is very intensively and alertly listening. The president was afraid to disturb me because he knew that I am not such a man who can be stopped. And I was not going to stop. I was going to throw out that president. I said, if people want to hear me, you are no more president of this conference. You simply get out. He has understood it. So he was sitting silently. But hearing me for 2 hours, Chandan Muni sent me a message that afternoon that I want to meet you alone in private. I cannot come to the place you are staying. Because a Janama cannot go anywhere except the Jaina temple. Please forgive me, you will have to come. I said, there is no problem, I will come. I went there at least 200 people had gathered, but he wanted absolute privacy. So he took me in, closed the door in a room, sat down with me on the floor and said, you were right. I don't have courage enough to say it in public, but I wanted to say to you that you were right. I don't have any experience of self. I don't have any experience of self-realization. I don't know whether such a thing exists or not. And you were absolutely right that I was just like a parrot repeating this scripture. But help me. I am imprisoned. I cannot go anywhere. I am the head of a committee. I cannot even ask questions to you before others, because they think I am already self-realized, so why should I be asking questions? I should know the answer myself. And there were tears in his eyes. I said, I will do my best to help you. Because I have seen many religious leaders, but not with such sincere hearts. And I know perfectly well you cannot remain in this bondage long. You have met a dangerous man. And you have invited me yourself. And it happened within 2 years' time, he was in contact with me with letters, learning meditation, doing meditation. After 2 years, he dropped out of the general community. He was so well respected. The general community is very rich. He dropped out. He met me. I could not believe him when he came to my house. He said, I'm Chandramudhi. I said, you have changed so much. He said, to be free of a prison, to be free of borrowed knowledge, has been such a great relief. I have again become young. He was 70 years old. And he said, now I am ready to do whatever he wants. I have risked everything. I was rich. I renounced death to become a Jaina monk. Now I have renounced Jainism, the monkhood, just to be nobody, so that I can have total freedom to experiment. Politicians will not be much help, but there may be few politicians who will have a sincerity. And seeing the change in time, seeing that the old and the new have fallen apart, and if they want anything to do with the new, they have to understand the new, the functioning of the new. There may be few politicians who will come out to help me in my work. There may be few intellectuals, who are not only intellectuals, but intelligent also. They may come to hell. Just we have to be ready to wait, and we have to be preparing the new people on as vast a scale as possible. religious groups will come out. Because there are always few people who are sincere, but by accident have fallen into a wrong group. Once they hear that something of the truth is available, their thirst may be awakened. But whether any religious head or any politician or any intellectual help or not, it does not matter. The new generation has all the power . The youth has all the potential of the future. And there may be many old people who are old only by age, but not by their intelligence. They may be still young with their intelligence. They will be rich. One thing I am absolutely certain, whatever troubles we have to pass through, the ultimate victory is going to be ours. It is not only a question of any ideology, it is a question of evolution versus death.
Love is dog one. Is it possible for a sergeant in the army to get enlightened?
It is difficult. But not important. And if the urge is strong, then it may not be even difficult. Sergeant in the army has been trained in a certain way, disciplined in a certain way. He is trained and disciplined to kill or to be killed. Enlightenment is also needs you to be ready to be killed. There is no need to kill anybody, but it needs you to be killed. And the surgeons whole discipline and training can be used. He can kill his own ego. If he is ready even to die, then there is not much problem in killing the ego. And the moment the ego dies, you are enlightened. So don't be worried. From every direction, from every kind of discipline, from every profession, we can find something that can be helpful to bring you to enlightenment. If you cling to the discipline, if you wait for orders from above, then it is going to be difficult. There is nobody above you to order you. Enlightenment cannot be ordered. The way you have been trained turns right. But your disciplined personality can be used in a certain way. That is, you have been prepared to die as time comes without any hesitation. And that is the most significant part as far as enlightenment is concerned. If you are ready to die as an instantly, you can explode into a world of light, into a world of delight. Thank you.